Today on Hands On Photography, I got my Wacom tablet because I'm going to do some post processing of those beautiful high key portrait shots that we snapped just the other week. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to show you just how easy this is. Stay tuned. Hands On Photography is brought to you from LastPass Studios. Using the same password everywhere is a security nightmare waiting to happen. LastPass puts you in control of your online life by storing all of your unique passwords in a secure, encrypted vault. Visit LastPass.com/Twit.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands On Photography is brought to you by LastPass. Allow your remote workforce the ability to do their best work securely without jumping through hoops. Visit LastPass.com/Twit. Hey, what's happening, everybody? I am Ant Pruitt. This is Hands On Photography here on Twit TV. I hope y'all are doing well. I am unbelievable as always. This is the podcast where I like to sit down and share different tips and tricks that are going to help make you a better photographer as well as a better post processor, which is what we're going to get into today. But if this is your first time catching the show, I want to say welcome to you and say thank you for joining us this week. This podcast is a lot of fun to me. I really do enjoy sharing the content and seeing the results from those of you in the hands-on photography community. So again, while you're here, go ahead and hit subscribe in your favorite podcast app of choice. We're available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Pocket Casts and all of those popular podcast apps out there. If you're unable to find us in your podcast app, just head on over to our website, twit.tv/hop. That's twit.tv/HOP for hands-on photography. And you'll see all of our subscription options over there, including our YouTube channel. Go subscribe on YouTube as well and leave us some ratings and comments on all of those platforms. Appreciate all of the support, folks. Now, let's go ahead and get started with this week's episode. So let's go ahead and piggyback off of our discussion from last week in episode 54, where we did our high key portrait photography lab. You know, I sat down and I walked you through setting up a high key portrait shot. A lot of fun doing that. And it was pretty easy to do. I pretty much just used two different light sources on there. And you can really pull off these shots quite easily, regardless of the equipment that you have or the amount of space that you may have available to you. So in continuing that, we have to look at the post-processing side of this. The beauty of high-key lighting when you're setting that up in your studio or what have you is high-key tends to do a lot of the post-processing for you just because of how you set up the light source. It's going to pretty much clean up a lot of the different blemishes and things like that on your subject. The only way you're going to see those blemishes is if you really zoom in to see them. But most of the time, the light source will just wash away and make things a lot smoother for you. It's now your job to go in and do your post-processing to just enhance how well that lighting works for your particular subject or your model. In our case, it was the model Queen Pruitt. So now let's go ahead and fire up Lightroom, take a look at the shots that we snapped last week, and then we'll dive into some of the post-processing stuff. Okay, so let me switch screens here. All right, here we have the two images that we shot. This is image one, this is image two. Okay, now on image one, you may notice there's just a slight difference, and I'm not talking about the actual pose or anything, but there's a slight difference in how this is exposed. The exposure settings were all the same. It was, you know, 50 millimeter, F10, 1/100th of a second, ISO 640, all found right there near the histogram here in Lightroom. But notice right here, the bottom part of her of the frame, right up under her chin and around her neck. That's picture one. That's picture two. Do you see the difference? Well, the difference is it's a little bit dark right here because the light came in flat onto her face, and then it starts to fall off into shadow as it wraps around her chin and her jawline and creates these shadows up under her chin and around her neck. That's why I took that piece of foam core, had her hold it right up under her face, And it filled in the light where it pretty much just reflected it right back up into those dark areas. This is the type of shot that is a lot more pleasing to your model and a lot more pleasing to, say, a client that is looking to have some sort of a like a magazine cover or whatever, because they want to promote a person's face. They want to promote some makeup or hairstyle or something like that. They like to see these high key, airy, bright, white light types of images, because that's just what resonates with the type of energy that high key shots produce. So now I wanted to go ahead and get into the post-processing of this. When I shot this, my camera is typically set up to shoot in a 16:9 aspect ratio. So when I originally pulled this into Lightroom, this is what the images looked like. They were cropped in like that. And that's fine. I typically shoot it in 16:9 because of my particular workflow. But for today's example, I'm going to work with the regular full 3:2 aspect ratio. So I'm just going to reset this back. Okay. But if I'm going to pick and choose a particular image to work on this week, I'm not going to go with the one with the darker shadows on it. I'm going to stick with this one here. And quite frankly, there's not a ton that I need to do to this from an exposure standpoint. So I'm just going to make sure the highlights are not totally out of control. So I'm going to bring the highlights down just a touch like that. And then I'm going to play around with the white level, because again, we want that airy, bright white look. And I'm just going to push the white up just a touch. And that's really going to bring out the background to being more so white there. And all of that's looking pretty good. I could do some sharpening and more focusing on this here, but I'm just going to do a little bit, because I'd rather do most of the detail work inside of Photoshop versus using Lightroom. Lightroom allows me to do a lot of the detail work, but I'm more comfortable with the performance inside of Photoshop for those types of things. So I'm just going to take the sharpness and just push it up just a touch, not too much. There. So we have a nice little baseline. And then another little trick inside of Lightroom is it has to take a look at your actual lens profile. I use the 50 millimeter lens, but if you look at it, the image is a little bit warped and bowed because of there's some lens distortion. So when I tell Lightroom to correct for my particular lens, it will flatten that image out. So now her face looks a little bit more natural and her nose isn't necessarily all blowed out or anything like that. So it looks way better, all because of one click of understanding the lens profile now. So this is all looking pretty good just right out the box. I didn't have to do too much to it, but there are some other things that I'd like to address from a blemish standpoint and a retouching slash finishing standpoint that I think would really help make this picture just pop and make her glow even more. But before we do that, I want to take a few seconds to thank this week's fine sponsor, the folks at LastPass. This episode of Hands on Photography is brought to you by LastPass. What is it that makes LastPass so unique and vital for your business? IT and security leaders can take back control of password security. They'll have the control they need from a central dashboard. Businesses can customize admin privileges, ensuring that any given admin has only the right level of access. You'll gain a company-wide visibility that shows you actual progress. Leverage over 100 policies and advanced security features. Visit LastPass.com/twit to find out how they can help you. That's LastPass.com/twit. And we thank LastPass for their support. All right, so now let's go back to my screen here in Lightroom. And what I typically do is I just right-click on the image and say, edit in Photoshop. And what it's going to do is open up Photoshop and pull that image in for me. I already had Photoshop open for a second, so let's see. There we go. It's opened up. We got a histogram there. I don't really need this histogram, and I'm going to make this full screen because it just works better for me. Now, if we look at this, it could be a little bit sharper and a little bit more clarity on this image. And I have a Photoshop action up here that will do a lot of the sharpening for me, which is basically frequency separation. If you want to look back at Photoshop actions, I have an episode way back in episode 24 that talks about Photoshop actions. So I'm not going to go through the whole sharpening process. I'm just going to tell Photoshop to do it for me automatically just by clicking this play button. And boom, it'll start to add all of these different layers. Okay, so now I have all of my different layers here added, and it has definitely sharpened up this image. If we do a bit of a before and after, I just click this and turn it off. This is the before, and this is the after. And hey, that's exactly what we want. This looks a lot more lifelike, but I want to turn it down just a touch, because I don't want it too sharp, because again, we want an airy, soft feel with this. All right, so now I have this squared away, but a trick that I'm going to use is, again, part of what's called frequency separation, where we're going to have multiple layers inside of Photoshop. One layer is going to be the detail layer. Another layer is going to be dealing more so with color tones and the blemishes and things like that. So right here, you'll see this layer zero copy. I know this is a blur layer for me, so I'm just going to duplicate this layer. Just right click and duplicate layer until it okay. All right, so I got that square, and I'm going to pull this layer out by itself because I'm going to need it here in a second. Now, everything is in a group from what I did from a sharpening standpoint. I'm good to go because the sharpness is fine. So I'm just going to merge this group and work on this as it's pretty much a finished image, but it's not finished just yet. But we're going to basically use this layer here that we copied as part of the blur. And we're going to work with our layer masking tool inside of Photoshop to soften certain parts of the image versus keeping some of the image pretty sharp and clean and crispy. So let's take a look at this and add a layer mask right down here. And with the layer mask, as mentioned in episode 12, when you use a paintbrush for layer masking, you use either a black color or a white color. And when you paint on a layer mask with black, it's going to reveal everything that's up under the layer that you're currently working on. So if I was to turn off this top layer, all you're going to see is a bit of a blurry image. And that's okay, because that's what we want, is we want some of that blurry softness to sort of come through on this layer. As a matter of fact, I'm going to crank it up just a little bit more like that, and we're good to go. So now what I want to do is take this layer mask and I want to brush in more of a soft texture where it should be, like around the cheekbones and things like that. So I will hit B on my keyboard to make sure my brush tool is activated. And then I will make this a nice large brush, but have the hardness set to 0 because I want it to be soft. So that's nice and large. And then I'm going to make sure the color over here is selected as black. And I can just click this little icon here, or I can just hit X on my keyboard to toggle back and forth. So let's just brush in gently around the cheeks just to soften it up some, something like that. And another trick on this is I'm using a flow up here at the top for the brush, using flow at 4%, because that allows me to just sort of barely brush it in and not overdo it, and gives me a little bit more control. And as a matter of fact, I need to switch over to my Wacom tablet. Talk about having control, way much more control using a Wacom tablet to brush in all of these beautiful details. So we're just going to brush it in like so. And I'll speed through this fairly quickly. Do it around the chin, around the mouth. Looks good. Around the forehead. There. So everything that should be soft and a little bit more pleasing is being addressed. The things that should have texture and detail, the eyes, but not too much, but definitely when you're dealing with portraits, have your eyes in beautiful, beautiful detail. I don't necessarily want like their eyelids to be super duper sharp. So we're going to brush some of that like this. There we go. It's beautiful retouching and finishing. And when you're doing this, folks, a good rule of thumb with retouching faces is think about what a makeup artist is going to do. A makeup artist is someone in place to help make someone's face, facial features be a little bit more enhanced. They will try to bring out the eyes. They will try to bring out the cheekbones. And it's the same concept here with photo retouching. And that's all I'm doing here is trying to soften up the spots that should be softened up and further enhance what we're looking at. There we go. All right, so that looks pretty good. But I do have one more problem with this, and we talked about this previously, and that's the eye bags being a little bit darker than, you know, where it would normally be on the face. And there's an easy trick with that. I believe it was episode 21 where I talked about using the good old gradient tool to fix eye bags on your model's face here. So I will make a new layer down below this main layer, because again, we're just trying to work on those colors and the tones. So I'll click here, make a new layer, and then I'm going to hit G on my keyboard for the gradient tool. Okay. But at the top here, the top left, you have a couple different types of gradients. We don't want this one. We want the second one that is a radial gradient. So it comes out like a circle. And I'm going to turn off that first layer so we can see what we're working with. And then we'll go over here. Let's see. We'll go over here to her face and we'll take a sample of the skin tone right below the eye bag, just like that, by clicking Alt. And then we'll just click and drag. Take another sample, click and drag. And see, now you'll notice it's blending in that skin tone quite naturally. And as I'm doing that, you're probably thinking, holy moly, that looks like a mess. That doesn't look natural at all. But just stay with me. We're just worrying about the tone. We're not worrying about the detail just yet. Just the skin tone. Okay. So that looks pretty good. That looks much better than the dark areas under our face there. So now I will turn that top layer right back on. We're good to go there. So let's go back to our layer mask and let's just brush in with the brush and get back to taking away those darker tones like so. So now it's blending in a lot more naturally and we don't have these really dark circles or eye bags there. Pretty simple. And we can even still see the texture of her skin right there. It's just subtle. And if you overdo it with your layer mask just by brushing a little too much, remember you can switch back to your colors. So just hit X on the keyboard and that's going to make us paint white. And that way we'll put back what we tried to brush away. Because I went a little too far and got her eyes like that. Just a little too far. There we go. And then I still want to make sure I brush around here to smooth this out even more. And this is so much easier, again, because of the way high key lighting works, is there's not a lot of deep, dark shadows to fight with on here. It's not a lot of contrast. It all just sort of blends in perfectly because of that big, bright light source that we had. And it just brushed away any of the blemishes. You don't see anything when you're out at the normal point of view. You just see smooth, pretty skin there. I think that looks great. What about you? So now we're going to take a look at a couple different blemishes. Like I see this here, right there. It looks like a little mark from scratching herself or something. And then there's something right here in her hair that doesn't necessarily need to be there. So let's just get rid of that. And there's a couple ways of going about it. I'm going to zoom in a little bit on that top layer because this is a detail layer, not a color source layer. And let's try the spot removal tool. See if we can just brush it away. So that's J on the keyboard. Try to brush it away. And that does not work very well. Not for this instance. So what else can we do? There's a stamp tool, clone stamp. So we press S on the keyboard, take a sample of the area near it, and brush it in like so. Good. Do the same thing over here on the left. Right here so you can see it. Just brush it in, get rid of that. And those are little tiny details that some people may not see, but I noticed it, so I wanted to get rid of it. Yeah, I think we're good to go. So now we're back out. Looks pretty good, right? So let's take a quick comparison. I'll just group everything together. So we'll say Control G. Now this is the before and this is the after. It's just cleaned up. So we'll just hit save. And then we'll take this right back into Lightroom after it saves. Okay, so now we are back in Lightroom and this is almost done. This is almost ready to go. There's a couple things I'd like to do again, just from a detail standpoint. And I want to take a look at doing some selective adjustments here. So I'm going to click on this adjustment brush in the upper right corner, or also K on your keyboard. And I'm going to place my little marker right here because I want to work on her hair. And I want to tell this adjustment brush to deal more so with clarity or texture. So I'm going to try clarity. And I'll take this flow to be roughly 60% or so. And I'm just going to brush in some clarity around her hair. And you'll see how it even adds a little more contrast and just a little more sharpness, bringing out the details around her hair. Okay, next I'll do something similar, but I'll do it with her eyes this time. So I'm going to make a new brush and I'm going to change it to texture because texture is a little more high frequency. So I'm going to click and we'll drop my little point there, zoom in, and I'm just going to brush in some detail around her eyelashes and her eyeball, just like that, to really bring out the eyes. And if you want, you can do the same with eyebrows too. And some people, depending on the scenario, will like to do it around the bottom of their nose, like that, because it just sort of rounds everything out. There we go. And if you feel like you've brushed too much, you can always check yourself by pressing O on the keyboard to see where you brushed. I brushed a little too much right here. Really more concerned about the eyes and the eyelashes. Like that. Boom. That looks great. I'm going to go back to that other brush and I'm just going to do a little bit of an edge around her for more clarity. There we go. Looks good. Boom. That looks good. Now, if anything, you can play around and do a bit of a vignette on it if you want. I don't know if that's necessary because that starts to bring in darkness around this high key scene. We don't necessarily want that, but some people may. Or you can just do a reverse side of that and give it a reverse vignette, which will give it a bit of a halo and a bit of a glow around it. Something like that. I like it. So let me see if I can show you a before and an after. So let's reset this one. Okay. Turn the lights out on it so you could see it better. This is the before. And this is the after. Before, a couple blemishes, not as much contrast and detail. And the after, smoothed out, ready to be on the front of the world's most popular beauty magazine. Love it. Sweet. All right, folks, that is going to do it for this week's episode. And that's high key lighting as well as high key post-processing. I hope you've enjoyed this. I'm looking forward to showing you the next iteration in the portraiture styles, and that's the low-key side. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a little bit easier for you on the low-key post-processing and low-key shooting side, but either way, it's going to be fun. If you have any questions or feedback or comments, feel free to shoot me an email to hop@twit.tv. I love hearing from you all. I keep seeing a bunch of different messages coming from you folks, and I am trying to answer them all as best and as fast as I can. So keep sending them over. If you have some image critique requests, feel free to do that. Just make sure, if you want something to be discussed on the show, I need your consent to share your images on the show. I don't want to just put your images up willy-nilly. So that's not cool. All right. And also, make sure you follow me over on the social medias. Follow me over on Instagram and follow me on Twitter. I am @_Pruitt on Twitter. I am also @_Pruitt on Instagram. Give me a follow there. Tag me in some of your conversations. I'd love to see what you all are talking about. All right, folks, that is it. Catch us next week here on the network each and every Thursday in your favorite podcast app of choice. And I'm looking forward to sharing next week's topic with you, low-key photography. All right, so safely create and dominate. And I'll catch you all next time. Take care.
Hey, I'm Jason Howell, host of Hands on Android. Every week, I take a look at the Android operating system and the phone that you have in your hands to tell you how to use it better. Is it tips? Is it tricks? Is it little known secrets, experiments, even emails from fans of the show? You name it, we talk about it on Hands on Android. You can subscribe by going to twit.tv/HOA and make sure that you do that so you don't miss a single episode. We'll see you there.